Welcome to the Minivate Gang Podcast, episode 372. I'm Steve Borsch, and I'm on with Tim Elliott.
Good morning.
And Phil Wilson.
Hola.
Yeah, we were just yucking it up, and we were talking about, I don't know, I brought up Raffi, the Canadian music guy, and you guys
Tim never
played that for your kid, and then Tim said what?
It's like, what did you say, Tim? It's like...
I said, you don't let your kids listen to Raffi. It's like Zamfir. You don't let your friends listen to Zamfir. Master of the pan flute.
The master of the pan flute.
That's right.
Which harkens back to the day of infomercials with unknown artists that would sell millions of albums.
And you don't have the Slim Whitman collection?
No, I don't have the Slim Whitman
collection. You don't? You can stream it now, I'm sure.
I'm sure you can. Yeah.
Well, you know what?
I miss those things. Now it's all, you know, Zumba classes and boner medicine on late night TV.
Oh, God.
That's the good stuff.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Mm. Oh, well. Oh, well.
All right.
Tim, you're going to have to get the links to the pan flute guy.
Oh, okay.
So that's your job.
Don't call Zamfir the master of the pan flute. The pan flute guy. Come on now. A little respect. He is a master. Right.
Sorry.
So was he on the playlist when you were a DJ?
No. Never. Oh. Uh-uh. Nope.
Okay. You are not cool then.
I know. Well, you know, it was a sacrifice. You have to pick your lane, you know?
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, you had to play that Steely Dan instead.
That's right. Exactly. Exactly. Oh,
all right, let's talk about Minnesota Stories kids, because isn't that what we're here for?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I was at
Minnesota Innovation.
Went to a couple of events this week. I always look for you guys and never see you there, but was over at Pitch, which is the new co-working space designed for sports tech folks.
Yeah.
Over in the Highlights building.
And Graham was there too, right?
Graham was there, of course. There was
beer. Free beer, yeah, okay.
And, Graham's looking good, still slim and looking good. So, it was the usual suspects as far as attendees, you know, the people that you're going to see at Mini Demo and that sort of thing. So, a nice space, wide open, very similar to the Sport Engine space, which is right next door to them. And had a chance to catch up with Justin Koffenberg a little bit. That was kind of fun. It was interesting because we were talking about their deal with NBC Sports, and he was sort of in the beginning stages of his deal with NBC when Jonah Peretti of BuzzFeed was wrapping up their securing funding from NBC Universal, and actually spent a good deal of time together. And I thought that was very interesting. So sort of making that connection, because we're right across the street from Sports Engines.
Yeah, right.
So it's a small world.
So. Well, what was the Girl Develop It?
Girl Develop It is an organization that works to educate women on technology and, you know, coding and that sort of a thing.
Right.
It's more geared towards working women and, you know, making that that change over to or looking at another career and you know, trying new things. And Girl Develop It is, they actually put on classes, and it's really a great organization. We got connected to them. I got connected with them through BuzzFeed, through one of our developers, Liz Liao. And they just do really great stuff. And they were celebrating their second anniversary last night. They had a nice little gathering over at Olson. Have you been in that Ford building, you guys, over by?
Oh, yeah.
Target Center.
Yep.
That Olson space is beautiful. Just beautiful. And
building, I actually had a buddy that was in there. He had a legal audio video scanning records company. And it was a real dump for years.
I would imagine so. Yeah.
It's
gorgeous now.
Yeah, exactly.
That whole area, I guess they consider that. Do they consider that part North Loop? I don't know if they do or not, but in that area is just really, they've cleaned it up and it looks really great. So, but anyway, that Girl Develop It's celebrating 2 years, and now they're moving into their third year with plans to do some classes in the design end of technology, and they did front end, they've done back end stuff. So it's really, really a great group of folks, and really enjoyed myself there last
year. Excellent.
I strongly recommend the cake pops, by the way. Anyway,
jeez. Well, the Minnesota Cup announced their 2016 finalists, and
High Tech Division at Sezzle, which is a payment processing app,
which I'm really interested in. Yeah,
and Vugo, which of course we had on the show not too long ago.
No, I know Sezzle, but I don't know Token of Trust. You guys,
Token of Trust was actually at the mini demo not too long ago, and it looks like a very interesting concept. So I hope that they do well as well. I don't know. Sezzle strikes me as this seems to be a crowded space, but
it does. But if you listen to their pitch, so if you look at the video that they have on their website, it's actually pretty interesting for the it's aimed at millennials who don't necessarily have credit cards. And it's a bank to bank transfer sort of thing that's powered by a mobile app. And they're half the cost for the merchant. So as opposed to credit cards. Mm-hmm. So it appears to have an interesting value proposition. And, if they're going after the millennials that don't have credit cards, a lot of them. It might actually work.
Well, and the other thing is I cannot believe, Alex and I, my son, we kind of look at each other sometimes like, really seriously, you're going to go out of your way to earn 1% or 2% or whatever it happens to be. And my wife and daughter both use the Ebates gateway. They never, ever buy anything online unless they go through Ebates first. And so, both Alex and I had checks waved in our faces. So we're just shutting up now. I mean, they're really, really interested in this, in the rebate thing and the cash back and so forth. And so I think Sezzle's got some legs.
Yeah, I agree. It is in a crowded space, but I think that they've got an interesting take on it. So.
Yep. Absolutely.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, I found this next article kind of interesting. So Medtronic has invested another $20 million in Mazer Robotics, which is essentially a telemedicine play. So it's all about remote surgery and diagnosis and things like that. And the only thing I can think about is that, are we gonna make Android doctors? I mean, when AI, maybe hook it up to IBM's Watson and have virtual surgeons using this. I'm being facetious, of course.
This is
virtual surgeons
for spinal surgery specifically. So maybe it's where you can call in one of the top people in the world, for the surgery to assist. Virtually.
Right.
Maybe that's how it works. Maybe they have, the ability to do some stuff with a robot. It may be just that. It just adds more capability to what Medtronic's already doing in that space.
Yeah. Well, and I think it's all about the precision because it's, if you can map out, because I watched some of the videos and they have these points that they can put on the spine, and so the bot can be extremely precise. I mean, not that a surgeon can't be extremely precise, but this sort of takes it to another level. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Okay. All right. Anyway, I'm sorry, I got distracted there. My apologies. It looks like there's another record number of startups coming out of the University of Minnesota.
17. Have you heard of any of these?
None of them.
None.
I haven't either.
No.
But that's okay. I mean, we're not in the market for pothole repair, so.
Well, but what it is it's coming out of the U of M's IP that they're creating.
Right.
And so they're building out these companies. This is all about the licensing of their IP, and instead of just focusing on existing companies that they can go out and license the IP to, now they're doing that and focusing on startups. And I think that's a pretty interesting way to go about it. I would encourage everybody to click the link in the article, or I'll put a link in the show notes that goes directly to the U of M's page from the Office for Technology Commercialization, and it tells more about what each one of these companies does. There's a little blurb about them.
Now, I'm assuming that that the university gets a piece of this action, right? Of all these startups.
So. Absolutely. Well, that's
so I'm sure
that's
they'll turn right around to make the tuition less money then, right?
Hello, Phil. Did you just say something? There's not a snowball's chance in the 80s they're going to do that. Yeah.
God forbid. Anyway.
Which is too bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So anyway, I don't know how much they make off of it.
Yeah, one of these is a brewery, apparently. Food additive that addresses problems with harsh taste for various consumable liquids. Interesting.
That's very interesting.
Very interesting. Yeah. So check that out. Another Kathy Grayson story. So check that one out.
Well, and she's been very active this week because she also posted about the more than 90 Minnesota companies are among the fastest growing nationwide, according to Inc. magazine. And, they talked about Lead Pages, who, of course, is continuing to accelerate what they're doing in the online marketing space. Channel Partners Capital, FinTech Play. I don't know much about them. Actually, I don't know pretty much everybody else except Fitness on Demand, I know, and Firefly Computers I've heard of. Quite an interesting list. And 90 yep. of them.
Yep.
I like the fact that we have a very diverse economy here in Minnesota.
Yep. It kind of makes you proud to live here, doesn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, when winter comes.
Oh, stop.
Oh, it's not that bad. Come on.
Yeah. Weeds out the riffraff. It's all good.
It's worse up in Winnipeg. So.
Yeah. That's right.
For more than just winters. Yeah.
Well, fun fact, I just have to throw this in. Sorry about the tangent.
No, but the tangent on this program? No way.
But Alex and I were going to go up to Winnipeg for one of our dad and son adventures.
It's the Vegas of South Dakota. Yes.
Right. And I was looking at Lake Winnipeg, which is absolutely enormous. And on the eastern shore, there are all kinds of resorts. So I'm reading about it and so on. I'm reading about Lake Winnipeg. And then it turns out they have this horrific algae bloom every summer for the last three summers, which they're, pointing to climate change. And swimming is not recommended. So we were like, nah, let's not go.
Yeah, exactly. Algae blooms have become more and more of a thing. And I'm sure it's related to
climate change.
That,
of course, everything's related to climate change.
That doesn't exist, according to
anything. Everyone has their own. Everyone has their own theory.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Yep. This look out for the Zika, though. Zika's bad.
Zika's bad.
Especially now in
Miami. Florida. Don't go to Miami if you're a pregnant woman.
Oh, God. No.
Or if you're thinking about it.
No.
Just say no.
I'm actually not thinking about being a pregnant woman, but...
Okay. Well, that's good.
That's good. That's good.
So that's, all right. Yeah. So Amazon...
I saw this, I think I saw this just shortly after our podcast last week, that there's an article about the Amazon and Target are back together again. So
sort of.
Yeah.
When I saw this headline, when you sent it around, I thought, oh, wow, they're going back to the website hosting deal. No, they're not. They're just selling Kindles and Fire TVs and whatever Amazon devices that they kicked out 4 years ago.
Right.
So what I'm still sort of scratching my head about, Target has really redone their electronics section, and I think it's worse. I mean, and then they talked about how, that was one of the things, the lack of growth in the electronics category is one of the things that depressed their results for last quarter.
I guess when I think about electronics, Target doesn't leap to mind.
So. Not at all. Not at all.
So I don't even think about it there.
Best Buy
always comes to mind. Yeah.
Right. I don't think I've purchased electronics at Target for 20 years.
No.
I just don't buy that stuff there.
I used to buy small cameras there. I think that was as close to electronics as I got.
Okay.
But now I don't buy cameras anymore. So
really,
no, I'm not like you and Steve. I'm sorry. I love the convenience of the iPhone.
Hey, you've always got it.
So anyway,
there you go. Well, hey, were there any other top tech stories this week? I don't think anything else happened, right?
No, it was just a quiet week.
Okay. Hey, great show. Thanks, guys.
So are you going to miss Gawker?
No.
Not really.
No.
I wasn't a huge Gawker fan. I'm not crazy about, I'm concerned about, you know, how Gawker came to this end, simply because of being a target of Peter Thiel. But
give a recap for everyone listening, just to
I can't remember when it was, but Gawker basically outed Peter Thiel years ago. Was it years ago or a while back? And Peter Thiel is a Silicon Valley VC and a man of great wealth, and he took that rather hard. And I that's personal stuff, and I can't say as I blame him, but he has been on a vendetta to basically put Gawker out of business. He actually was the one that funded Hulk Hogan's case against Gawker that Hogan ultimately won a huge judgment against Gawker, and Gawker had to declare bankruptcy because they couldn't make that
$140 million judgment.
So Gawker's declared bankruptcy and put themselves up for sale. And Univision bought Gawker Media this week for $135 million. So I don't know what that means to Hulk Hogan, but what Univision is going to do to settle that piece, or if they're responsible at all. But so anyway, that's the situation as it is. And Univision is going to shut Gawker down.
Univision. No, actually, it's a little more nuanced. So they bought the other.
It's more nuanced.
Yeah. So they bought the other six properties, like the Lifehacker is one of them, and Engadget. Not Engadget. What is it? Gizmodo.
Right.
Anyway, so there are properties such as those which are ongoing businesses, and they're going to keep running.
Yep.
The Gawker site itself, which was a gossip site, is being shut down because no one wanted to buy it.
Yeah. So, oh yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
Right. Okay.
Anywho, but anyway, you kind of wonder what Univision is going to do with these. I mean, I guess run them this the way that they are.
Yeah. I mean, Lifehacker is a great site. I love
it.
Yeah.
I love
right?
it.
It is. Yeah.
But yeah, again, I think my concern is more. Yeah. Here is a story of someone with money that can put another business out of business, just because of, spite. It's a little bit concerning, but
yeah, it's from a journalistic, what journalists can and can't do.
Yeah.
It's a little troubling from that, but you kind of see that Denton and Company did cross the line with Hulk Hogan and with Peter Thiel with his personal life. So
Listen, that happens a lot. I'm not condoning that by any means. Gawker's not. I've never been a big fan of Gawker anyway, but it's just that concept of that's a guy with a lot of money can.
So what does Nick Denton do after this?
I don't know.
Does he start over? Does he move back to England and kind of go back into the tabloid business?
Well, I would bet he would start a new property.
Yeah.
I mean, that makes the most sense. I mean, he's done it once. He can do it again.
Sure.
So, but anyway, hey, I wanted to shift because I really, Tim, want your perspective on this next big story. And it was the Linux bug that leaves 1.4 billion Android users vulnerable to hijacking attacks. And this is an Ars Technica, which, by the way, for everyone listening, is one of the best tech sites on the planet, I think.
And you have to set aside a good chunk of time to read it because
typically you do. But it's for a specific, it's for intermediate to expert level people.
Right. And this is not a super long piece either.
It's not. Standards. But how vulnerable are people to this particular hack?
It seems pretty vulnerable because it started with Android 4.4 KitKat. And it says it's in every version, including Nougat, which is the latest one. So 1.4 billion devices, 80% of the users. Wow. This is a big problem, and Google's going to have to patch it somehow. The problem with Android is that when you have a something like this that needs to be attended to, it's so, you know, the updates are up to the manufacturer of the device, not Google itself, right, unless you buy a Nexus device. So unlike Apple, that can push out a fix for everybody, Android doesn't get fixed a lot of times. So this is a big problem for people that have an older device, you know, a year or two older, and they stopped updating it. And so I see this as a big problem.
Well, so I talked to my youngest sister, and she and her husband have Android phones, and they just bought one for their daughter. And they're not terribly expensive phones. And she's had hers now for a year and a half. It's never updated at once. She goes, "What do you mean update?" I said, "Well, when they come out with new versions of the operating system and or patches to security flaws, you should update it." She goes, "Yeah. How would I even know?"
Well, the only ones that are really doing a good job are the Google itself with the Nexus line, Motorola, which used to be part of Google, of course, but now independent, and Samsung. So those are the only ones that if you buy those brands, those tend to get updated fairly regularly.
Yeah.
But anybody else, it's, you know, there are some that you could not be updated at all. You know, what you get when it comes, you know, when you buy it is what you get. You never get an update. So that is one of the problems with Android. But
well, I'm going to stick with what I got for now.
And I don't know. That Apple thing's just not going to catch on.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Yeah.
Well, so Tim Cook, of course, in an interview, declared that augmented reality is a core technology for Apple.
He declared it as a core technology, and Apple is doing some work on it. But I don't know if he say it was for Apple. Was that the quote, or did he just say it's a core technology?
He said it's a core technology.
Yeah.
Or he said, "I think AR is extremely interesting and sort of a core technology."
Yeah.
So. He said, "We're doing a lot of things on it behind the curtain that we talked about."
Sure. Well, everybody's doing a lot of things on AR everywhere. So
That's one of those
things like, "Oh my God, this is the next big thing for Apple." It's like, no, they're just paying attention to it.
Yeah.
Did he say anything about the Apple TV? Like a, you know, television set?
No.
Oh man.
Yeah.
You're still hanging on to that prediction, aren't you, Tim?
Yeah. No, I was the one that predicted against it, actually.
I know. Just kidding.
Yeah.
Anyway, so, well, yeah, who knows where it'll end up. But, yeah, AR is very much a big thing. I think I think probably better than VR, so that's for sure.
All right, so the next version of the Apple Watch has got a GPS in it and a better battery. So what do you think?
That's it.
Is that compelling? Are you going to go get it?
Well, it depends on what it looks like and how fast it is. Supposedly, they're putting a new chip in it. We won't know until it comes out. But there was a Bloomberg story about Apple hitting roadblocks and cutting watch ties to the iPhone. I don't and never do expect that the watch is going to be separate from the iPhone, that it's going to run on its own, and that you're going to be able to hop in your car and run over to the store and your phone's going to answer your phone calls and all that kind of stuff. It's there's too much going on in a phone that it's can't be replicated in a watch. So I don't think that's going to happen.
Yeah. I think it's more likely we'll see some sort of a outboard clip on like what Pebble has with their core that has some of the capability. So instead of having a phone that you have to take, you clip on this little square device. That's like an old iPod Nano size. And that has, you know, your, mobile data connection and maybe some other horsepower and a flash drive so you can put music. And it's mainly aimed at people that are exercising or running so that you don't have to run with your phone.
Right.
So that's why the GPS is important. So you don't have to run with it. You can do your run, and then when you're back, it'll take the GPS coordinates and suck it into whatever app that you use to
makes perfect sense.
Record your runs. So stuff like that is why they're doing it. I don't think they're going to ever have one where you stick in a SIM card and it acts as your phone, because who wants to talk to their watch?
Well, I do every once in a while. If my phone is separate, you know, my phone rings, I will.
Hello,
or he's
crazy.
It's not a good experience. It doesn't work that well. So anyway, hey, for those listening, we are actually recording on Google Hangouts, which works pretty well.
Because Microsoft screwed up Skype somehow, but anyway,
horribly. And you know, you hear some dropout. We're still wrestling with a few tech issues. We don't know if it's the cable network that Tim and Phil are on, but at any rate,
blame it on Charter.
There you go. But Google announced this past week that Hangouts on Air, their sort of live production Hangout, is going to move from Google Plus to YouTube Live on September 12th. And some people were kind of up in arms about this because they do really like Google Plus, and especially it is a good way to alert people that there's a live Hangout going on and for people to be able to access it. But I got to tell you, having streamed the IoT Fuse conference keynotes through YouTube Live, it is just a stunningly amazing technology that Google's built into YouTube Live. And so I think it's, you know, they're going to keep leveraging that network, and it makes perfect sense, I think.
Yeah. No, absolutely. So, it's better from a brand perspective. And this is only their live product, not the one we're using.
Correct. So
we'll still be able to use this.
Right. Right.
Though, wouldn't it be fun to do it live?
No. We tried that once, and it was just not good.
No. No.
It was almost a complete disaster, as I recall. Remember, we had to go back to Skype at one point.
Yeah.
Well,
and the makeup. You know, putting the makeup on before the...
Right.
You know, before we did the video part.
Yeah. Absolutely. Putting the makeup on. You do that anyway. You just don't want to do it this early. Is that the plan?
Yeah, exactly. Okay, gotcha. No, I got to take my pajamas off. And
I gotcha. I
understand. And so also one other thing that I thought was really interesting, and this was written for the Wall Street Journal by a guy named Irving Waleski Berger, and he is and has been IBM's...
aren't they selling that at the 5-8 Club, the Waleski Berger?
Yeah, right. All right.
Good.
But I remember once going to an IBM event, a conference, and he interviewed Robert Redford on stage about his, you know, environmental directions and how he was using technology and the sensor technologies they were using and so on. It was very fascinating. But Waleski Berger, he for years ran you know, the New Media Group and other sorts of things for IBM. And the article is about the World Economic Forum publishing their 2016 list of the top 10 emerging technologies, and most of them aren't a surprise to anybody, like nano sensors and the internet of nano things, which I thought was kind of interesting and potentially scary. Next gen batteries, and we're going to talk, I got a great battery story later on. The blockchain, which is
love me a good battery story.
Yeah. Shush. The blockchain, which is the core approval and authorization mechanism behind Bitcoin.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of research going on blockchain for normal financial transactions. Anyway, there's a bunch of, we'll put a link in the show notes, you know, solar system, solar cells and open AI.
Metabolic engineering. Mm, wow. That sounds good. Very cool.
Well, yeah, nothing can go wrong. With metabolic engineering.
Well, autonomous vehicles. Right. Everybody is autonomous vehicles, probably the most relevant thing right now, with Uber deciding that they're going to do autonomous vehicles in Pittsburgh. So that's right up, right on us.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Well, and then the very last big top tech story is one that I would like Phil, who's our ambassador.
It's a follow up.
It's a full circle sort of follow up.
Right. Yeah. Phil's our ambassador of poop. So based on poopocalypse last week,
the latest latest here from the poop desk.
Yes.
there was a follow-up article that the Roomba creator responds to the reports of poop Apocalypse. I told you last week about that story that was, you know, went sort of viral with the Roomba that started at 1:15 in the morning, rolled over somebody's dog's poop, and then tracked it all over, you know, all
it
over.
It resulted in a home that closely resembles a Jackson Pollock poop painting.
Right, exactly.
That's if Jackson Pollock used poop, which he
did. The great thing is, you know, that the folks at Roomba said, yeah, we see this a lot.
Yeah, great.
And there are a myriad of stories about this happening and how the Roomba, you know, it was like the Roomba kept going back and forth and back and forth, you know, in sort of like in an asterisk shape, trying to get this spot out of which was actually, you know, basically grinding the poop into the carpet. So the one takeaway I had from some of the stories is, boy, some of these people have got to get their pets under control.
Yeah, no kidding.
Have you heard about putting them outside or something? My God.
Well, and you know, the other thing is what an amazing benefit that, you know, when they're putting features and benefits up on their website, Roomba could put that up as a benefit.
Right? What?
Smears your poop, yeah, everywhere. Sure. Yeah. Oh my God.
So I thought, yeah, this is, there you go. That's the latest from the poop desk.
Yep. Thank you, Phil.
I do what I can.
Wow.
Well, time for the cool thing of the week.
And Phil, you're going to go first because you can now redeem yourself as a as a person by telling us about your cool thing.
Well, this one is a straight up pure, this is just a cool fucking thing. That's all there is to it.
Wow.
This is the Mercedes Maybach concept car.
It is awesome.
Look at this thing. It is just cool. Completely pointless, very expensive, I'm sure, when it ever comes out.
Wow.
Space age, to say the least. It is just a gorgeous design, but something you'll ever really invest in, I'm sure. So,
yeah, but could you see James Bond behind the wheel of this thing?
This thing is just beautiful. It's a four-wheel drive electric vehicle that is it is a gorgeous design. There's no doubt about it. Very long, very thin. It harkens back to the old coupes of yesterday with the long front hood and you know, everything sort of in the back, you know, the cabin in the back of the vehicle. And it has sort of a boat tail. It has it's just gorgeous. So,
well, you know, Mercedes has also announced 10 new electric vehicles that they'll have, I think, by 2020. And they're actually going to spin off a new brand or have a sub brand.
Oh, yeah.
And,
you used to drive Mercedes. I know that. And I, you know, I came from a family of, you know, my dad always loved his Mercedes, though they were always breaking down. But, would an electric Mercedes woo you back to the brand, Steve?
Well, for now, my biggest interest is with a car like the Chevy Volt. Mm-hmm. And it's because, you know, I do too much where I'll take off on a driving adventure where there is not a snowball's chance in hell there's going to be a supercharger there in the next decade. Mm-hmm. And so I need a car that I can, you know, drive to Glacier National Park and spend, you know, 3 or 4 days in Glacier. And there's not going to be any. There's gas. You can buy gasoline, but you can't buy, they can't pull up to a supercharger and spend a half hour there. And the other thing is I just read, and I was thinking about you, Tim, driving with you. I think you drove your son out to DC.
Yeah.
For college. Well, so I read an article about a dad who was talking about just how wonderful his Tesla S was and how he and his son drove from Florida up the East Coast looking at colleges. And he said it was just awesome. You know, he said we only spent 7 hours charging the car on the way. They drove like 2,200 miles. And he said, and we made sure that we timed our charging so that we could pull in, charge it, and then go over and have lunch while the car was charging. And I thought, you know, imagine driving from here to L.A., you know, if I was going to drive my daughter out there, for example, for her new job. And having to charge. Yeah, honey, let's stop here for 40 minutes and charge up. I mean, it just kind of doesn't pay anyway. So I think it'll be a while, but something may change it. And I'll talk about that in a moment.
That's a tease.
That is a tease. So do we want to go right to
that?
Should
I do that?
Or should we?
Or shall I take a segue?
All right, I'll go right to it. Let's just do that.
Okay.
All right. So I put a link to the article in TechCrunch about this, but there are probably 30 links that I could have put in, and there's lots of different spins on this. But the punchline is there's a new lithium battery metal technology that is significantly lighter and is also can hold about, just back in the envelope, about double the charge in a space that's about maybe a third of the current space for batteries. And I got to tell you, there are car companies and obviously every mobile technology and laptop maker and everybody is just like jumping all over this thing because it's a new MIT spin out called Solid Energy Systems. And they, I remember we talked about this on one of the shows. We had links to this mm-hmm. MIT announcement about this major breakthrough that they'd made in lithium ions. And I remember I was the one who kind of rolled my eyes and went, yeah. You know, we read these things constantly about some big breakthrough and like 7 years later you see it. Well, here we are months later and there's an actual company taking it to market.
Mm-hmm. So the trouble is that the metal that they use in this battery comes from Krypton. So you know, So that's always
Kal-El will have to come down.
But by the way, we have to tear up all of Montana to get this, you know, this stuff to get.
No,
to
it. I won't be anything like that.
I know. I'm just kidding.
All right, Tim, your cool thing, buddy.
So now for something completely different. It's a Kickstarter, which is not new for me, but it's for a restaurant called the Sioux Chef
in Minneapolis.
And I don't mean Sioux in the traditional way. I mean Sioux in Lakota Sioux. And it's a Native American restaurant that's looking to be funded. They're about $85,000. They've got 18 days to go for their $100,000 goal. And what they're trying to do is to open up a Native American restaurant that has the indigenous cuisine of Lakota, Ojibwe, Iroquois, Indian tribes.
That is very cool.
I think it's very cool. And especially if they can use this as a platform to educate too, not only serve great food and go into business, but also to educate people on the tradition and history of Lakota and the Sioux Nation. I think that's great.
Well, yeah. There's a one that picture that they have in here about the Sioux Chef team and their teaching of indigenous food systems to kids from 51 tribal nations. They've got this photo of all these kids and, you know, imagine the ability to pass on culture and meaning behind food and all of that to all these kids. What a great byproduct. Yeah.
Yep. This reminds me of Noma, which is a restaurant in Copenhagen, which a couple of years ago was the best restaurant in the world. And they are a farm to table sort of operation that serves foraged food from Denmark there. And this is the same kind of thing because a lot of Native American cuisine is foraged as opposed to, you know, grown. And, you know, it's literally forest table, I guess. So it's very similar to that.
Huh. That's awesome.
And of course, you've got wild game like venison and various other birds and fish and rabbit. All that kind of stuff that you'd find here in the local area. So yep.
Nice. Well, let's end with the upcoming events because we have quite a few actually. Mini Demo 24, which will happen during
Startup Week
on September 13th at the Riverview Theater. Mm-hmm. Minnesota Developers Conference at Earl Brown Center. I don't know much about this conference because I'm not a developer. So,
well, MDC has been around for a long time, and it's basically put on by ILM, they're this year they're at the Earl Brown Center. So check it out. It's interesting. It's sort of a front to back sort of a thing. I think their keynote speaker is Scott Hanselman. So I'm not necessarily familiar with him. I think he's with Microsoft. So
yeah.
Anyway, so check that out.
Well, longtime venture conference, Minnesota Venture Conference, which was of course taken over by the Minnesota High Tech Association, is happening on October 13th. The kicker is that MHTA stuff is not cheap. So if you're an MHTA member, it's $395. If you're a non-member, it's $595. And, you know, it's not cheap. So you've got to be a fairly well-funded startup if you are interested in going to something like this. Of course, the people you meet there are pretty amazing, too. I mean, venture capitalists and private equity firms and so on. So it's kind of a nice entree if you want to really hobnob with some real leaders in this market.
Hobnob.
Cool. Yeah, it's a technical term. And then on the 18th, Lead Pages is going to be doing their converted conference for 2016. And I didn't go last year, but there was some really good buzz about the learning that happened there and the you know, kind of raised everybody's horizons about what's possible. And Lead Pages did not, you know, basically pitch at it, you know, so it wasn't a sales oriented event at all. It was all about, you know, here's the cutting edge stuff that's going on. So that was kind of cool.
Oh, Mark Marone is one of the speakers there.
Yeah.
He's very funny.
He is funny.
I'm gonna check him out. So, and I'm just sort of looking at some of the other speakers. They've got a good lineup.
Yep. So. And then in November is Gamers Rhapsody. And this is a video game convention held in Bloomington, and it's their second annual one. And so that looks pretty interesting. The gaming community is surprisingly really growing here, which is pretty amazing and nice. Yeah. So that's it for the new events.
You'll probably be there with your son, I'm guessing.
I think we'll probably go.
I had a feeling.
Yep.
I had a feeling.
Absolutely.
Cool. So yeah, lots of stuff coming up, and I'm sure more will roll out as we sort of start entering back into the busier season for tech and events. But you know, what happens between now and next week, we'll talk about on
the Minovate Gang podcast.
Have a good week.
Take care.
Some money, stop walking, you want rich. Tonight, slip on the pavement, and I hope you understand. No, don't be so upset, seeing my situation. Just get some to my pockets. Did I keep my guitar? Was I done? Yesterday I was just like you, maybe a little bit more than that. Where's my bottle? I'm not afraid to die.